live on the Freak Radio Network, broadcasting from the Lucas Oil Studios,
driven by General Tire.
It's Speed Freaks, motorsports radio redefined. With Kenny Sargent,
Paging Dr. Douchebag,
Crash Gladys,
Get in crash position,
and Statman.
Don't overdrive the car.
Here's the Freaks.
Coming off three.
Second hour of the Freaks. Thank you guys for being a part of this big old thing. Will Perdue, three NBA championships with Michael Jordan and the Bulls. He'll be joining us this hour. Last Sunday night, he came in here and just shared some crazy information and insight in regards to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan at one time owned a superbike team. We replayed that interview last week with Michael Jordan talking about running a superbike team. You can go to speedfreaks.tv to listen to that bad boy. So figure, why not? Last Dance, still one of the most popular shows on TV right now. So Will Perdue coming back this hour in the Freak Nation. And Vegas Runner with some insight to Las Vegas and the numbers that may be sitting there for you if NASCAR goes back to live racing, what they intend to do. And during some of our downtime, I think, Richie, you brought up a good point in regards to Matt Kenseth taking the seat of one young Kyle Larson in the 42 with Chip Ganassi. What was the question that you asked, Richard?
Yeah, so it was based around the fact that something you guys bring up on the show all the time, which is how NASCAR has an issue with marketing their young drivers, especially in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years post Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s retirement. I asked, why did they decide to go with Matt Kenseth, who hasn't driven a car in the last 2 seasons, as opposed to going with somebody who is like they think might be the next big thing in NASCAR? I thought it was fascinating that they decided to go with an older driver as opposed to a younger driver.
Statman, you want that one?
Yeah, I think NASCAR motor racing in general is so dependent on sponsor money that I would assume that Chip Ganassi ran some names by the sponsors of that car, including McDonald's and some other people, Coca-Cola maybe, that if it was okay to put these people in the car, and they probably decided on Matt Kenseth because he's not going to crash the car, he's going to keep it out there a long time, and even though he's been on the sidelines for a while, he's going to be out there in the race, and people are going to talk about him and therefore talk about their sponsorship.
Mm. Yeah, it's so many people wanted Ross, well, people inside the series and fans inside the series wanted Ross Chastain because he's the one who was, well, basically slated to be the next one for that 42. It's just, it is a shame, Richie. It's such a valid point. Yeah, sponsorship dictates so much in motor racing, but man, to put a 48-year-old in there and not consider one of the younger guys who could really jumpstart his career, who's been working his butt off over the last couple of years in the truck and Xfinity series and possibly some late models, yeah, it does seem completely unfair. You're supposed to be able to fill seats with younger generation. I'm not a huge fan of this either, yet I am a huge Matt Kenseth fan, but I'm still not a fan of him.
But at the same time, what Kyle Larson, what he did, what he said, he was eliminated from that team almost immediately. Mm-hmm. It took one wave, and then bam, he's gone. Don't you want to put someone in that seat that is a known winning driver that doesn't really have, outside of taking out Joey Logano in one of those controversial takedowns, don't you want Matt Kenseth, who's perceived to be quite vanilla, in a seat that's the furthest away from offending any sponsors moving forward? Statman, Crasher?
Good point.
Yeah, that's the point entirely, that they want somebody who's not going to be offensive, who's going to be competitive, who's going to raise some conversation from the booth, and all 10 people in the grandstands are going to cheer for him when he goes by. So, I think, I don't know who else was on the list that was given to the sponsors, but it makes sense that Kenseth would get the job over Chastain.
And how funny that almost just an hour or so, just minutes after the announcement of Matt Kenseth taking over the 42, there's a headline, NASCAR expects explosive ratings when they return to race, and this is when it was just speculated they would return in mid-May, when they return to racing with Ryan Newman and Matt Kenseth back behind the wheel. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, wait a minute. This was planned a little more than just as suddenly as we expected.
Which, by the way, I know we got to go to resume with some other affiliates. I saw the ratings for the iRacing from FS1 and Fox. Those are crazy ratings
in Talladega
for iRacing.
Yeah.
There are Major League Soccer would love to have those type of ratings for live freaking soccer, hockey, NBA. People are wanting their G-damn motorsports, man. And if iRacing's filling the void, it's holy smokes.
Then keep it at iRacing, like we alluded to the first hour. Come on.
Going to resume with some affiliates and get into some Crash Gladys pit news and notes. It's all coming up, Speed Freaks Pits and the Lucas Oil Studios.
Speed Freaks, we promise to suck less. Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
The Freaks.
Welcome again to another round of affiliates here in the Freak Nation. Thank you guys for being a part of this in Los Angeles. Thank you for being a part of the Freak Nation once again. KAVL in Los Angeles, part of the Freak Nation. Crash Gladys Pit News and Notes brought to you by good friends at General Tire. Do yourself a favor, Freak Nation. Go to generaltire.com. Check out the righteous rubber for your righteous ride, a big old fat truck, an SUV. You should be rolling for safety and security on those General Tires. Crasher?
NASCAR raced a virtual Dover this afternoon, and for the third time this season, virtual season, William Byron was the victor. Byron is clearly the best when it comes to iRacing. And even though today's race was caution-filled, he still had the best patience, yes, that matters, and then tire strategy to snag the win at the virtual mile. NASCAR made loads of news this week when they announced that they would return to real racing in 2 weeks. May 17th is the start date at Darlington. Of course, no fans in attendance. Believe it or not, they are not the first sport to get back to normal. WWE and UFC have already been doing so, but they are also not the first racing series either. Lucas Oil's late model series will be back in Wheatland, Missouri on May 11th, and even earlier on May 8th, you can watch the World of Outlaws return at Knoxville, Iowa. Part-time real-world racer for Roger Penske, Scott McLaughlin, won an improbable IndyCar Challenge race at the virtual Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Saturday, and it was epic. With just two turns to go in the entire race, the top four were Marcus Ericsson, Patricio Award, Oliver Askew, and Santino Ferrucci. None of them went on to win. Wow. Scott McLaughlin was in fifth, and Connor Daly was sixth, and after two wrecks in the final two turns, they found themselves 1-2 at the virtual Brickyard. Tempers flared at the end of the final virtual IndyCar event. Do yourself a favor. Check out a few of the driver's social accounts for some humor about the animosity. So IndyCar had the wackiest last lap. It was the first lap that was wacky in the F1 virtual GP that surprised everyone as pole sitter Stoffel Van Dorn crashed right off the line, allowing Alex Albon to take the lead into turn one ahead of Charles Leclerc. And then Albon just hammered it home in an epic back and forth battle with Leclerc to snag the win on the virtual Interlagos circuit. Lucas Oil has been frequently showcasing virtual races on their Facebook page. Friday night was the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series, where even NASCAR star Greg Biffle was behind the wheel. But those veterans on the real-world tracks had nothing on the younger gamers, most of all, including full-time off-road kart racer Luke Knupp, who was wheeling a virtual Pro 4 and crushed the competition. Oh, did I mention? He's 13 years old.
And that 13-year-old, Luke Knupp, he's next.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
Freak Nation, for over 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your everywhere. From the aggressive mud terrain Grabber X3 to the all-terrain performance of the Grabber ATX, even to the strong and durable all-purpose terrain Grabber APX, General Tire balances excellent on-road performance with off-road capabilities designed for all weather conditions. Remember, with General Tire, anywhere is possible. For more information, drive over to generaltire.com.
Car not performing right? A dirty fuel system damages gas mileage and even your engine over time, but Lucas Fuel Treatment can clean and lubricate that fuel system, the fuel pump, fuel injectors, even carburetors and valves as you drive. It's designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Hey, it's Crasher from the Freaks, and what if I told you the best burger you can buy to cook on your grill or stovetop, it was available in your favorite grocery store? Well, it is, and it's Bubba Burger. Just how awesome does a sweet onion Bubba Burger sound about now? Oh, my favorite, jalapeno burgers, Angus burgers, all natural Bubba Burgers. Watching your caloric intake? Then grab the reduced fat and the turkey Bubba Burgers, all in your local grocery store. When you need a delicious burger for your weekend cookout, the answer is Bubba Burger. You'll never bite a better burger than a Bubba.
The Coxville Blockers, the Albuquerque Chupacabras, and the Arizona Pricks? Yeah, we got your attention now, don't we? These aren't real sports teams, but they are some of the most creative and funny sports logo t-shirts from Awesome Sports Logos. Each team has a history and a meaning behind it, like the Akron Rubbers, the Boston Accents, or the Cape Cod Scrod. And these t-shirts are awesome, made with the highest quality, 100% cotton available, and are just stupid soft. Grab your favorite city's t-shirt now at awesomesportslogos.com and get awesome.
Freak Nation, it's called No Kid Hungry, and that's what our friends at Lucas Oil would like to see happen during these times. No kid goes hungry. Many kids who got meals from their schools no longer have access due to school closures. So, Lucas Oil is donating a meal every time the No Kid Hungry post on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram is shared, along with the hashtag Lucas Oil Family. So go to the Lucas Oil social media pages, click share or retweet, and include the hashtag Lucas Oil Family, and Lucas Oil will donate a meal to No Kid Hungry. Got it? Let's do this.
MAV TV, your destination for all things motorsports. TV home to all of the Lucas Oil Motorsports. MAV TV televises off-road, modifieds, motocross, pro poling, and World Rally Championships, to name a few. MAV TV is also home to the favorite enthusiast shows such as My Classic Car, Chop Cut Rebuild, Full Custom Garage, Gears, and much more. MAV TV is available nationwide on DirecTV, Verizon, and on most cable providers. Visit MavTV.com for more racing information and to demand your MAV TV.
You're listening to Speed Freaks Motorsports Radio, redefined.
Speed Freaks on a Sunday night, the Lucas Oil Studios. Crash Gladys, Statman, Kenny Sargent, the website, speedfreaks.tv, and of course, all those social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Speed Freaks. Thank you guys for being a part of this big old thing. Coming up in about 15, 20 minutes, Will Perdue. Three of those four NBA championships that he won were, of course, with Michael Jordan and the Bulls. He has a lot of insight to The Last Dance, which, of course, you've been watching last 3 weeks on ESPN. All 13 years and almost 14 years of him, Luke Knupp, joining us here in the Freak Nation. This guy won the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series eSports event from the virtual Wild Horse Pass in Arizona. It's part of the Geico Off-Road Nationals presented by General Tire on Lucas Oil eSports. And Luke, it's crazy to think about this. Here you are, 13 years old, putting a beat down on young men and women that are maybe twice or even three times your age. How did you get so dang good at esports?
You know, I've just been practicing a lot. I've had the simulator for over a year and a half now, and just put the practice in. I got invited to this a couple weeks ago, and just put practice in, like I said. And me and my teammate Ethan were just putting laps down. I think we put over 1,000 laps down this week, and it's been crazy, but I'm glad we got the win.
You put in 1,000 laps over the week prior to this race? What the hell else you been doing?
Nope, I can't really do anything else. But today I've been off the sim, just trying to take a break. I was out in the shop helping my dad today, get all the trucks prepped for hopefully Best in the Desert coming back up soon.
Well, you talk about in the shop with your old man. Is your dad part of desert racing?
Yeah, I guess so. He doesn't race anymore. He preps for one of my sponsors, Travis Williams, who has the 6100 and the Best in the Desert series now. But yeah, he's a great prep guy. He's a great dad. He's a great mentor. I'm glad to have him.
Luke Knupp takes the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series win, Wild Horse Pass, Friday night. Luke, at 13 years old, you ought to be good at this computer stuff. At least that's the stereotype. We think of 13-year-olds really being good in computers. But what is it about the real world of off-road racing that attracts you when you've got all these guys that are older than your dad, probably, you're racing against?
Just the adrenaline rush, that there's the 20 or 30 minutes that you're in the seat just banging doors, going over jumps, going 70 miles per hour. But it's just really fun battling with your buddies for, like I said, 20 to 30 minutes. And it's just a huge adrenaline rush that I just love.
Luke, not mostly what you're doing in the real world is racing in carts. You were racing trucks in the virtual race Friday. Did you need a lot of adjustment in your driving style to get used to racing these trucks virtually, or not so much?
Yeah, the bigger suspension for sure, the more power, but not really, actually. Just my mod cart is kind of the same, to be honest, but just less power and less four-wheel drive.
And then when it comes to off-road racing, it's a little bit more foreign to my mind and maybe other people that are listening. I could see practicing on an asphalt track, whether it's an oval or a road course, because conditions are typically the same. But on a dirt track, conditions change. That track changes, whether someone creates a bigger rut or it's just the overall consistent drive over a certain part that just makes divots deeper. So how do you truly practice virtual racing?
That's a great question, but to be honest, I can't really. You just put a lot of laps down, and once you get the track to where, kind of like it was in the end of the race, where you just had to basically park it in the corners and drive off is the only fast way around. You couldn't really turn and throw it in, but it got so blue groove that you just couldn't drive it, basically. But I was just smooth with my hands, I guess. But just practice, basically.
Luke Knupp. Luke Knupp Racing. Luke, you were racing against some grown men who wanted to win as much as anything, even on this computer in the virtual world. You get jacked up to race against them just like you do against some of the people your own age when you're racing your kart?
Yeah, almost. It's actually the same, almost even more, to be honest. It's weird how it gets you, but it's just, like I said, the adrenaline rush, and it's crazy. You get all into it, and the sim racing is so close to real life, and you're just you're throwing it in, you're jumping, you're banging doors, you're flipping. It's awesome.
Were you sweating?
Yes, I was.
We've asked NASCAR virtual drivers, IndyCar virtual drivers, and yes, everyone is breaking a sweat. So that just tells me how much you guys are focused and so just into the moment that, yes, your body, at least your mind, thinks that it is real, and that's awesome.
Yeah, it's like I said, the adrenaline rush, and it's so amazing the way virtual racing has come now that it's basically the same thing. It's just you're in your house, and you don't have to pay a dime.
Now, Luke, you've said you've had your rig for about a year now. How many times have you updated it? A big thing since we've all been in quarantine or lockdown or stay-at-home orders is hearing about all these guys who never had rigs before, but all of a sudden all these series are online for people to do since we're all at home, and they've been updating almost every week, doing, you know, certain modifications, building different TV screens. What have you done through the year that you've had your rig to make it as good as it could possibly be?
Really nothing, except I got a new wheel, a pedal, handbrake a couple months ago, actually. I switched from a Logitech to a Fanatec, and it's been a great help. It's more realistic. It has the same exact wheel as my cart does, and it's a great tool.
If you look at the lineup in this race, you're beating the likes of former big-time NASCAR star Greg Biffle. You got Adrian Chinney, who, of course, has had his share of wins in Pro 4 in the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series. Do you quietly shut the door and start screaming like you put a beat down on these dudes that are big time and famous?
Yeah, I was on such a high note last night. It was crazy. But you can ask my mom and dad. I was just pumped up the whole night. Like, I was saying to my buddies after the race, I just beat Greg Biffle. I don't know if much people can say that.
Yes!
Because you look at the younger guys in this race, Sheldon Creed's part of it, which I'm sure he's got some good seat time in esports. You guys have something over these older dudes, don't you?
Yeah, it's crazy the new generation, how fast these guys are. Like you said, Sheldon Creed, he's been one of my good buddies throughout the years. We used to race short course together, and now he's up in NASCAR. It's crazy how short course can develop NASCAR drivers like today, and it definitely shows what off-road racing can do.
Do you have aspirations to go elsewhere besides dirt racing, or just stay in the dirt? Because, I mean, you can make a lucrative career, whether it's in the desert or with short course as well.
Yeah, I would definitely like to expand, go to asphalt one day. I really love asphalt. I go kart a lot. And it would be really fun to maybe get into a legend and then try and get up to NASCAR one day.
I'm sure you've watched some of the IndyCar racing and, of course, some of the iRacing with the NASCAR Cup Series. Can you compare the two just visually looking at those things compared to what you did Friday night in the Lucas Oil Esports Off-Road Racing Series versus what these guys are doing in IndyCar in the NASCAR Cup Series?
Yeah, it's almost the same level of competition, the same amount of drivers, the adrenaline rush, the sweating. It's like real life. It's crazy.
Well, you know, Jimmy Johnson, he got his start in off-road. Kyle Busch and Kurt Busch have had their share of off-road races. Wouldn't you like to get those
Robbie Gordon,
wouldn't you like to get those guys in an eSport, with an iRacing, a sim racing event, and beat their ass?
Yeah, I would love to, actually. I actually reached out to Jimmy one day because, actually, my title sponsor, Ultra Wheels, used to be one of his big sponsors back in the short course days. I reached out to him and saying, because I'm a part of a league in the short course, and we said we would love to have him in there, and he didn't get back to me, but hopefully one day he sees that message and tries it out.
Uh-huh. Let's see if we can work on that for you, buddy, to get the 7-time NASCAR Cup champion part of your racing series, all right?
Yeah.
Where did you reach out to him?
Instagram.
Okay.
Bam.
Okay. We'll see if we can slide a little note in.
Luke Knupp, 13, going on 40 years old. Joining us here, the Freak Nation. Friday night winner from the Lucas Oil Esports Off-Road Racing Series, of course, at Wild Horse Pass Motorsports Park, the virtual race. Luke, good luck to you, buddy. This was a pleasure getting you in the Freak Nation, man.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We hope to be having you a heck of a lot more, too. Let's get some real dirt wins, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Luke.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Sweet.
Yeah, Crasher, 13 years old, going on 14, putting a beat down on a guy that many people know in racing, Greg Biffle, Adrian Chenny, who's had his share of wins in the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series Pro 4 class. That's a big deal for a 13-year-old to race against maybe his idols or maybe his dad's idols.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And to see people in the comment section of the Lucas Oil page on Facebook, to see them just totally going nuts for him because they know how big this is too. It might to some people just seem like, it's a video game. It's a virtual game. It's not real. Actually, it is. Look, he just interviewed with us. He's interviewing with other people because he's the winner from this weekend's off-road race. Virtual or not, a win is a win. So, yeah, huge deal.
NASCAR with the virtual racing and now NASCAR with, well, let's just say, in a couple of weeks, they hope to be back in those Cup cars, those Xfinity cars in the NASCAR Truck Series. Actual racing coming forward, and we're going to check in with Las Vegas. And an opportunity for those who've been wanting to wager. And, yeah, you could do it on NASCAR. We explain next. Speed Freaks Pits and the Lucas Oil Studios.
Good evening, my fellow citizens.
To provide guidance to mankind.
It's so sad to read reports of the NASCAR plans to resume racing May 17th at Darlington. There was some thought that the races would run pit stop free, but apparently not only will there be pit stops, but the races could be run at full distance. There's even talk that the Coca-Cola 600 will run to term. Some of those races drone on for 5 hours or more. According to Racer.com, the one concession to cutting back on the race weekend is to drop practice and qualifying for the first few races. That would make the early events one-day shows with no fans. Of course, these early leaks may be trial balloons designed to test reactions from government officials, broadcasters, and fans. Few care what I think, but these early reports are, in a word, disappointing. Peace.
Motorsports Radio, redefined.
Las Vegas power brokers have his hotline. Gambling whales by him highballs. And when he speaks, the NFL, NBA, UFC,
ladies and gentlemen,
and big boy baseball executives listen.
NFL is out of here.
From a Las Vegas penthouse to be named later, it's the Freak Sin City Insider to all things numbers. Because Freak Nation plays the ponies.
And they're out.
Looks like a nice clean start.
Yeah, hell no!
It's Vegas Runner, now with Kenny and Crash.
All right, Vegas, there is some action that I want to talk to you about, but quickly. Well, I don't know if there's any kind of quick way around this, but I had forgotten that Carolyn Goodman was the mayor of Las Vegas, and I know the history of really her family, or her, I should say, former mayor and her husband, Oscar Goodman, and what he's meant to Las Vegas. But when she came out with those remarks about Las Vegas, first of all, I looked at her and thought, there's not a better person that could misrepresent Las Vegas. What is a Las Vegas? What are you, a Las Vegan? What are you?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Las Vegan?
Born here. I don't know if we're called Las Vegans or Las Vegans.
Hey, how did Las Vegas take Mayor Goodman's remarks in regards to opening up Las Vegas?
Extremely disappointed out here of her showing on Anderson Cooper. First and foremost, you got to be prepared. I mean, if you're going on national TV, on CNN, and you're going to be asked about questions that you should know ahead of time pretty much what they're going to ask, how your staff didn't prepare you for that is just shocking to most. But more importantly, it was just a terrible representation of our city and the people of our city. And the only reason she's the mayor is because of who her husband is. I mean, Oscar Goodman, a lot of people don't know his history. He's from Philadelphia, where I am, where I'm from. He was well known there because his history was as an excellent defense attorney defending some of the most notorious and well-known gangsters of all time. I mean, in Philadelphia, he was defending Nicky Scarfo and his nephew, Phil Leonetti, who are infamous. Then he came out here to Vegas, and he went on to defend Tony Spilotro, who you saw as Joe Pesci on Casino. He defended Frank Rosenthal, who De Niro played. He even defended Meyer Lansky and Herbie Blitzstein, you know, longtime gangsters. And he was so beloved as a mayor that he served from, I think, 1999 to around 2011, three terms. And he just backed off. I don't know if they could keep running, but he would have kept winning. There were five opponents against him in his second and third terms. And he managed to still get 80 to 85% of the vote. So he was beloved in this city. And I think it was simply a case of we want Oscar Goodman still running our city. And why not take the wife? At least I think that's what everyone was hoping for. And we just got used to it. But it would be extremely difficult to see her winning a re-election after that. I mean, even her supporters, it'll be pretty difficult to back that showing up. I mean, personally, again, I'm not a political guy, but I was just surprised how you could go on and be so unprepared.
At Greek_gambler, fantastic insight to not just gambling Las Vegas, but the history. Vegas Runner joining us here in the Freak Nation. 249 is still on. How are you looking at this?
It is happening, Kenny and Crash. I'm going full speed ahead. I believe this one's going down. We have a commission backing it up. We have a governor and state welcoming it. And we have three events planned over 8 days. So plenty to look forward to next weekend with UFC 249 kicking off next Saturday. Personally, I've already placed 6 bets on that card, so I'm extremely excited for it. Again, I haven't had action since the draft, and the NFL draft was really good for me and most sharp bettors, and the books loved the draft because it was the most heavily bet draft, and more importantly, there was such an influx of casual bettors. We saw with the ratings, over 55 million people watched the draft. That's unheard of.
Yep.
But again, there's nothing to really compete against. And more importantly, there was betting on it. So you saw when there was betting action, people tuned in, people bet it. And I think the UFC is going to attract the exact same thing over that 8-day period.
What about car racing? Because NASCAR has announced that they are coming back. Does that interest you at all now that we're finally off of the video game part of things? Or is it, again, just... it's a niche sport that requires maybe a little bit of inside information.
That's a great question. No, it isn't. And here's the difference that with horse racing, it's the hold is real high, meaning for, you know, out of every dollar you bet, the track's going to keep 30 to 40 cents of that. So it's hard to overcome that when you're being charged, you know, 30%. To play. Yeah, that's the price of admission. It's very hard to overcome that. with NASCAR, with even NFL, with other sports, the hold is very low. It becomes beatable because the market isn't as efficient as other markets may be. A, because, again, it is a niche sport, so you have more casual fans betting into it. You don't have the sharp money that may be in some of the other sports. So I think there's great opportunity for us to make money in a sport like NASCAR. In fact, that's what I urge new novice bettors, younger bettors that are breaking into the game. If you want to actually make money betting sports and you don't have the resources, you don't have access to tons of information, your best bet is to look into those smaller markets, NASCAR, MMA, golf even here in the U.S. Those type of sports that the markets are less liquid is going to attract less sharp action because those betting syndicates aren't going to put in all that work, gather in all that information, and then not be able to get a lot of money down. So they just avoid them for the most part. And that's the kind of market a recreational bettor has a shot in. So I urge people that, you know, I know we love watching Monday Night Football and having action on it, but rest assured, those are the most difficult sports to turn a profit and beat the books on. That's why they're willing to take such big bets on. They're extremely confident that they have an edge over you. But in those other sports where they have small limits, that's because their edge isn't as great. So, yeah, I'm not to go on that rant. I hope NASCAR comes back quickly. And I'll get involved immediately because I think the opportunities will be there. Again, whoever returns is going to offer us bettors opportunities.
Well, we'll just give you a little heads up. May 17th, NASCAR is back at the actual racetrack in Darlington, and I'd say Toyotas, Toyotas, Toyotas. Kyle Busch.
That's what I want to hear. Toyota.
Vegas runner at Greek_gambler, always fantastic. Vegas.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And coming up next with Michael Jordan and the Bulls in that Last Dance documentary being the most freaking popular show on television as we speak. We're going to bring back Will Perdue. Three of his four champions were with the Bulls. And Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, a former Superbike team owner. That's right. Will Perdue next. Speed Freaks Pits and the Lucas Oil Studio.
Speed Freaks. Motorsports Radio. Redefined.
It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire. General Tire's Grabber X3 Mud Terrain Tire offers aggressive styling and is engineered for durability with innovative performance features that are ready to carry you through extreme mud and rock-covered terrain. For extreme traction that's ready for anything and rugged styling to match, look no further than the Grabber X3. Make your anywhere possible by visiting GeneralTire.com today. That's GeneralTire.com. General Tire, supporting the Freak Nation for two decades.
Introducing Lucas Oil Racing TV, your exclusive unlimited 24/7 motorsports app. Now you can watch all your favorite motorsports anytime, anywhere. Get the finest in grassroots racing, national events, live coverage, behind-the-scenes action, and interviews you won't see anywhere else. There's also automotive how-to shows and some of motorsports' biggest names like Dave Despain, hosting the legends and current superstars of racing. For more information, visit lucasoilracing.tv. Lucas Oil Racing TV. Grab it and hold on tight.
The Coxville Blockers, the Albuquerque Chupacabras, and the Arizona Pricks? Yeah, we got your attention now, don't we? These aren't real sports teams, but they are some of the most creative and funny sports logo t-shirts from Awesome Sports Logos. Each team has a history and a meaning behind it, like the Akron Rubbers, the Boston Accents, or the Cape Cod Scrod. And these t-shirts are awesome, made with the highest quality, 100% cotton available, and are just stupid soft. Grab your favorite city's t-shirt now at awesomesportslogos.com and get awesome.
Hey, you want the easiest car care ever, right? There's a couple Lucas Oil products you got to get your hands on. One, Lucas Slick Mist Fast and Easy Speed Wax. Two, Tire and Trim Shine. And three, Interior Detailer. It's better than anything on the market, so this is what you do. You spray the speed wax on a wet or dry surface, you wipe it off, and you're done. You think you can handle that? Lucas Interior Detailer rejuvenates interiors, and Lucas Tires and Trim Shine does wonders on tires and wheels. Lucas Slick Mist. It's easy. It works. Go to lucasoil.com for more information.
Freak Nation, for over 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your everywhere. From the aggressive mud terrain Grabber X3 to the all-terrain performance of the Grabber ATX, even to the strong and durable all-purpose terrain Grabber APX. General Tire balances excellent on-road performance with off-road capabilities designed for all weather conditions. Remember, with General Tire, anywhere is possible. For more information, drive over to generaltire.com.
Want to bring racing technology into your driveway? Lucas High Performance Motor Oil is advanced race engine technology for everyday cars and trucks. It reduces friction heat and coats your engine with a tougher, longer-lasting oil film for maximum protection. Lucas High Performance Motor Oil cools and cleans your engine and protects against sludge buildup from everyday stop-and-go driving. Lucas High Performance Motor Oil is made in America and sold to the world. It works.
You're listening to Speed Freaks. Motorsports Radio Redefined.
His name is Will Perdue, NBA champion four times over, three of those NBA champions. And can we just start this off? Is Isaiah Thomas the king of ass hattery?
Hold on a second. Let me get my dictionary. Can you repeat that, please?
That's the Sergeant Volume 4 dictionary.
Is he the president of the Freaks douche canoe?
Oh. Well, I don't know how to... Is he not, like, making things worse by literally campaigning on every form of every media outlet out there about what and why and how he did what he did? Dude, we get it. You made a mistake. Just admit you made a mistake. Don't try to blame it on the Celtics. Come on, they did it to us. How petty is that? They did it to us, so we did it to them. Come on, man. I get, hey, listen, I can't sit here and throw rocks. I live in a glass house. I made huge mistakes as a player, as a husband, as a father. But sometimes you just got to own your mistakes and just say, hey, we made a mistake. We didn't do the right thing. You know, you just, I know it's in my opinion, it was still classless. It's not something you should have done. Especially when you had to walk right in front of our bench. I mean, come on, man. It's just, I get it, but it's, I feel like he's actually doing more damage to his reputation than he is good by trying to explain himself. He's just like backpedaling. And it's, you know, as I say, he had one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana peel. He's burying himself.
Yeah. Will Perdue, yeah. Four-time NBA champion. Again, three of those with the Bulls and Michael Jordan as we're talking about The Last Dance. And we're talking about Isaiah Thomas making excuses for why, again, the Pistons didn't shake the hands of that ass-kicking that the Bulls put on them. Kind of roll me through that. And it's unfortunate that's the highlight from the last couple of shows. But run me through that, Will. Was this... obvious as it was happening that these bastards are not going to shake our hands after we just beat their butt?
Well, we quite honestly, I mean, you can tell as they walk by us. I mean, we're stunned. You know, we're just like, what are they doing? And, you know, it's one of those things you think about hindsight 2020. I wish I would have been, like, cognizant to step in front of one of them and be like, where are you going? What are you doing? To where it even made it more obvious that if they had to go to their locker room, which was right in front of our bench, they would have had to walk, literally now walk around us like you dropped a roadblock in front of somebody. But I think it was just totally unexpected. It was something that we didn't think they were going to do. But let me also make something very clear. I know that as, you know, we've been talking about this since the last episodes 3 and 4, people look at it and they're like, man, they kicked the Pistons' ass. They beat them 4-0. All those games were rough, man. They were tough. They were hard-fought games. It wasn't like we beat them by 20 every game. It's just that we found a way to win at the end of every game. So it looks, I think that it looks worse than it was because they didn't even win a game. It was 4-0. But it's because we figured out how to win. They taught us a lot of lessons. In 89, they were better. In 90, we thought maybe we were better on paper, but we still weren't good enough to beat them. Now, we can say, hey, if Scotty Mindraine didn't have a headache, Scotty didn't have a headache. Scotty Pippen didn't have a migraine. Finally got that straight. Maybe we would have won. Well, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all be happy at Christmas. I mean, you always have to face adversity. And who knows, even if he did play, if we would have won or not. So, you know, let's not dwell on that. Let's talk about the fact that, you know, from the time we walked off that floor in 90 till the time we faced him again in the playoffs in 91, we had busted our ass. I remember talking to B.J. Armstrong. I had him on a podcast here in Chicago, and B.J., you know, and that's the other thing about this Last Dance series. It's bringing back, you know, waves of emotions and stories and stuff that we had kind of forgot about. Not intentionally, but just, you know, it just happens because you're not dealing with it every day or you don't think about it every day. But B.J. talked about how literally we were back in the gym, back in the weight room immediately. Now, when I say immediately, I don't mean the next day, but usually when a season is over, we take 4 to 6 weeks off to heal the body, to heal the mind, to remove yourself from the game. I think we basically had like a 2-week window and we're like, all right, man, we're ready. We're back. We're focused. We know what we have to do. We still have improvement to make. We still need to step up to the plate. You know, we let each other down. And that, because of the Pistons, we unified as a team. But to fast forward, I think that they were so stunned. It was so unexpected for them. Even when we had them down 3-0, I still think that they believed that they could come back and win the series. But to not win a single game and to go out that way, I think was disrespectful to us, regardless of what the Celtics did to them. But you could see the astonishment on our faces. And that's just not the way I was brought up. And I would find it hard to believe that you would find somebody as a parent. And you guys are parents. Would you tell your kid, that's how you do it. That's how you handle it. That's class right there. That's respect. I don't think so.
No, not in the slightest. But it's almost like it's more of that carryover of the bad boys mentality and that branding that they were so big on. And again, it's not right, but they were just furthering the brand.
Well, you're exactly right. And Isaiah tried to use that as an excuse. Well, mm-hmm. They were disrespectful to us. They were disrespectful to the city, how they're talking about this. No, you guys started it. And then you guys personified it. You and the city of Detroit became the bad boys. You guys have a banner that doesn't just say championship. Next to the championship banner is a sign that says bad boys.
Wow.
You know? So that's what you guys were. That's how you guys decided to sell it. That's how you guys decided to live it. So you lived up to it. But this is also the ramifications of living up to it. Who else tried to become the bad boy, a Darth Vader? LeBron James. Look what happened to him when he went to Miami. He got vilified. So what did he talk about? I tried to become the villain. I tried to live that life. I tried to be the bad guy. I got crucified. I couldn't do it. It wasn't fair. That's not me. So you got to be careful. You know, you can't play both sides of the street. You got to pick a side and stay on it. And sometimes you realize when you pick a side of the street, you make a mistake. So you accept your mistakes, apologize for it, and cross to the other side of the street.
Will Perdue joining us here in the Freak Nation. Of course, we're talking about The Last Dance. And in episodes 3 and 4, Will Perdue is there. And you just referenced the emotions that this Last Dance is bringing back with you. Can you describe some of your positive or negative or just outlandish emotions that you are personally experiencing right now?
Well, I mean, it's all been positive, quite honestly. You know, everybody's like, what was true and what was false? I mean, for the most part, I think they've been very accurate on not only how they're portraying Michael, but just everything involved, the drama, the tension. You know, I would say the tension aspect is a little more magnified because of, you know, how they're presenting this. But there was always drama. There was always adversity. There was always something going on. But, you know, I've told this story a couple times. So last week in episodes 3 and 4, I got to watch it with my son, who's 16. And he's been asking me ever since this you know, they dropped the teaser last year. He's like, Dad, are you in this? Dad, are you in this? Are you going to be in this? Am I going to see you? You know, because unfortunately, you know, my son never got to see me play in person. You know, so he's seen YouTube videos and classic games on NBA TV. And, you know, I always joke that at this point now, more kids know me because I'm on that play NBA 2K than actually know that I was a player. So as this thing was being played, and I honestly, I don't know. I haven't previewed any of these episodes. I just said, you know what, I'm going to watch it just like everybody else every Sunday and kind of relish as I'm watching it. And we're kind of watching it, and I'm kind of keeping an eye on him. You know, like most kids, he's kind of in it. He's looking at his phone. He's kind of in it. He's looking at his phone. All of a sudden, I pop up, and they, you know, I'm answering a question in the interview, and he sits up, and I kind of look over at him, and he's just kind of smiling. And so, aww, you know, there was some justification as a father to be like, yeah, I'm in it. Thank God. I did that 2 hours of interviews, and they used the cut of it. I was afraid it was all going to end up on the cutting room floor. But, you know, the one comment that I mentioned about MJ is that, you know, the emotions that we normally saw out of MJ were anger, frustration, disgust, because, you know, we weren't able to get over that mountain. Not necessarily that he was so much disrespectful, but that's just how competitive he was. So when I mentioned about how he's bawling in the locker room with the, hugging the trophy and his dad on his left, but also if you look in the reflection of the Larry O'Brien trophy, you'll also see his wife at the time, Juanita, was in the locker room as well. But we were just as surprised as everybody else because he always came across as a hard ass, the ultimate competitor, the warrior. But let's also be honest, John Paxson, Bill Cartwright, Cliff Levingston, guys that were older, had, you know, put in their time in the league that had never won a championship. They were just as emotional. And, you know, I was kind of like one of the gifs that you see on Twitter. I'm not crying. You're crying. Kind of the whole thing of us winning that first championship and Michael crying. And, you know, I kind of teared up a little bit because it was also a reminder of how much work we actually put in, how hard that was. And I always try to tell people, they always are like, you know, Michael is the guy. But I don't think people realized how hard he practiced. I know they hear the stories about how much of a competitor he was. But to stay on top for that long, how difficult that is. And for the Bulls as an organization to win 6 championships over an 8-year period, and what the Patriots have done, it's just, these things are very difficult. And it takes it out of you, both physically, emotionally, mentally, and that's the true definition of sacrifice for the better good of the team.
There's a debate out there, and it's still going on, and it'll go on until we crap the bed, that Michael Jordan either could or couldn't have won those championships with Scottie Pippen. Where does Will Perdue stand on that, and the importance of role players with Michael Jordan in those championship years?
Well, I'm on board. I think Michael gives Scottie justice, saying you can't mention Michael Jordan in championships without mentioning Scottie Pippen. I know for some people this may be blasphemy, but right now in Chicago, they're showing every game, every playoff game on NBC Sports Chicago from 97-98 season, The Last Dance. And what we're doing with NBC Sports Chicago is we're doing a post-game show for every clincher. So we already did a post-game show for game 3 against the New Jersey Nets at the time. They swept them 3-0. We just did a post-game show for their series against the Charlotte Hornets. They went 4-1. And I've even mentioned, if you go back and look at that, Michael's obviously the best player, the best scorer. But go back and look at Scottie Pippen's numbers. In game 5 against the Charlotte Hornets, he basically plays every minute. Now, to be exact, he plays 47 minutes and 48 seconds of that clinching game in Charlotte. Or maybe it was in Chicago, I can't remember. But he had 16 points, I think 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals, 0 turnovers. I know people want to talk about how good Michael was, and I know Scotty is a top 50 player of all time. But Michael helped make and mold Scotty. because he realized that if I'm going to do this, I need Scotty to be there with me. And there's that part about how Michael was like, he's talking to Scotty and telling Scotty, I'm there for you, man, but I need you to fight with me. I need you to fight for me. And that's when you saw the emergence of Scotty Pippen. He was already coming along. We as teammates knew he had the skill set because we saw some stuff he did in practice. But I think that's when people finally realized who he was. And I think that without Scotty, you'd have had to have a player as good as or better than Scotty for the Bulls to win those or in this case, Michael Jordan to win those championships.
But speaking about discipline and on-court stuff exclusively, Michael Jordan, in my opinion, after watching episodes 3 and 4, he also helped to mold Dennis Rodman. I mean, everything off the court aside, that guy, I had no idea how much of a study he was on other players.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, fortunately for Dennis, people want to focus on the antics, the off-court stuff. That's on him. And unfortunately, because he decided to go that route, and you can give Madonna a lot of credit for that, that's what people want to focus on. Mm-hmm. I imagine that probably aggravates the crap out of him because look how that kind of molded him as a person, unfortunately. But the one thing was, though, when you talk to anybody that played with him, I was traded for him, never played with him.
Right.
The guys in San Antonio talk about how good of a teammate he was. They talk about how disciplined he was, about how he took care of his body and how he focused. Now, I see you see a lot of the stuff about partying and drinking. And, yeah, he went off the deep end. But there were a lot of factors that contributed to that. But Dennis Rodman, the basketball player, oh, he studied opponents. He studied his – I mean, he knew his own teammates. He knew the opponents. You don't just become a great rebounder and defender and an all-around player. I mean, he could have been a much better scorer on athletic ability. You got to put in the time. You got to watch the film. You know, it's just hours and hours of repetition, but also watch the film. Talk about what you do wrong. Show what you do right, but go back and look at your opponents. Read the scouting report. You have to invest the time. As a basketball player, his IQ was off the charts.
Telling you, Freak Nation, the lessons that we learned from Will Perdue, four-time NBA champion, three of those, as you heard, with Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Absolutely bonkers. Statman, your Isaiah Thomas fan. I need to get the hell out of here, Statman.
Yeah.
Remember to shoot the juice to the moose, and Statman,
cut it loose.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.